The word of God given to us today is Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. Please turn to page 402 of the New Testament. Allow me to read. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were in either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. The church in Laodicea seemed to lack nothing on the surface. Laodicea was like the Bank of Asia Minor, and the church in Laodicea also enjoyed such wealth. The Laodicean dark purple tunic made of wool, which was considered to be the finest and most expensive clothes, were also worn by the people of the Church of Laodicea. They also received better medical benefits that other churches were not able to receive, with Tephra Phrygia, the famous Laodicean eye salve. As such, the people of Laodicea thought, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. However, to Jesus Christ, the root of all creations, they were all wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That was why Laodicea was the only one of the seven churches in Asia Minor that did not receive any praise from the Lord in the letters. But that does not mean that the Lord lamented over the church in Laodicea or wanted to abandon it. The church in Laodicea was still an object of love for the Lord. So the Lord rebuked the people of the church as an expression of love, and chastised them as a father would chastise his own child. The Lord also spoke to the people of the church in Laodicea, as in verse 20 of today's text. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Having the strongest military power in the world at the time, the Roman Empire crushed the cities and countries that it conquered. Laodicea was also not an exception. However, Jesus Christ, the root of all creations, is a much higher authority than the Roman Empire ever was, yet he stooped down to a place lower than that of the Roman Empire, lowering himself to be among the people. If your dog or your cat started to sulk, go back into its own house, locked at the door, and did not come out, how low can you stoop down to coax your pet? Do you think you can knock on the door of your pet's house saying, Patrishu, Open the door. Let's be friends. I won't make you deliver milk anymore. Or Tom, come out. I won't mock you anymore, even though you get outwitted by Jerry all the time. Do you think you can wait generously until your dog or your cat opens the door and walks out by itself? The moment your dog or your cat walk into its home and close the door, you would probably get angry and say, "Is that dog crazy? Who does that dog think he is? I am its owner." And you would kick the door open and smack it. Or you might even pick up the whole dog house or the cat house and give it to someone else. You wouldn't beg for it to come out. Even worse, some people might lock the door from the outside for 2 or 3 days so that their dog or cat would never dare to do something like that again. Even when the church in Laodicea was enwrapped in its own set of values, completely unaware of the fact that they were ignoring the Lord was still knocking on the door of the church in Laodicea. This is the ironic truth of Christianity. In other religions of the world, it's the people who go to look for God or gods. But in Christianity, we have to acknowledge the fact that the Lord knocks on our doors. We react in 2 ways to the Lord's knocking. We either open the door or we don't. Not opening the door symbolizes the fact that we are unaware of our own wretchedness, pitifulness, poverty, blindness, and nakedness. It also symbolizes our living with a set of Laodicean values. Opening the door, on the other hand, refers to acknowledging that we do not have the gold refined in the fire, white clothes, an eyesal that we bought from the Lord, relying on the Lord and accepting His words. The Lord's knocking on our doors is for us, to give us blessings and to guide us to the path of eternal life. People who do not open the door seem as if they've won in the fight with the Lord. However, they are only defeated victors and victors drenched in secular values. If they stay that way until the end, they will become forever miserable victors. On the other hand, those who open the door seem as if they've had to humble themselves to the Lord's knocking. They look defeated. Yet, they are victorious losers, and losers who bought gold refined in fire, white clothes, and eye salve from the Lord. Therefore, in the end, they will become forever victorious losers. Then why did the Lord keep on knocking on the door of the Laodicean church and keeps knocking on our doors? Let's read verse 20 again. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." The reason the Lord is knocking on our doors is to eat with those of us who open our doors. In other words, the Lord is in us, and we in Him, so that we live with Him and walk with Him. As there are words in Korean for the 3 meals of the day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, there are 3 words for the 3 meals of the day in Greek as well. Breakfast in Greek is akratisma, and this refers to eating a piece of dry bread dipped in wine. It is similar to eating cereals with milk or a piece of toast with coffee. Lunch is called ariston, which is eating boxed lunch you packed at home in the plaza or under the tree at the roadside. It's similar to students or office workers eating box lunches or instant noodles or kimbap at a cafeteria. Dinner is called daitnan, and this is not a meal that is eaten quickly like breakfast or eaten on the roadside like lunch. It is a well-prepared meal that is eaten in a relaxed manner at the end of the day while talking and sharing your day with other people. When the Lord said, "I will come in and eat with that person," the Greek word for the eat in this verse was deipnio, meaning having a fine meal. Eating together is not just an act of filling your stomach. By sharing a meal, we confirm that we are members of the same community or family. That is why in Korean, the word for family, 식구, means people who eat together. After about 20 years since David became king, he asked his servants, "Is anyone still left in Saul's family?" His servants searched high and low and found out that Ziba, who had been Saul's servant, was still alive. David called him in and asked him about Saul's family, and Ziba answered, "Jonathan has a son named Mephibosheth who was still living, though crippled in both feet." Mephibosheth was born as the son of the crown's prince, but lost both his father and grandfather at the battle against the Philistines on Mount Gilboa in one day. While his wet nurse fled with him from the royal residence, she dropped him, and so he became crippled. When David and Mephibosheth finally met, Mephibosheth had been terrified. He believed that the only reason the current king would look for the family of the overthrown king was to wipe out his kin. Yet, when David saw him, he told Mephibosheth, "Do not be afraid, that he will be kind to him for his father Jonathan's sake." David gave Mephibosheth all the land of his grandfather Saul. David's consideration for Mephibosheth did not stop at giving him back all his wealth. Chapter 9 of 1 Samuel ends with verse 13, which says, "Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet." Chapter 9 of 1 Samuel is composed of 13 verses, and there are 4 mentions in the chapter about Mephibosheth eating with David at David's table. The fact that Mephibosheth ate with David all the time shows that David regarded Mephibosheth as a prince, which means that Mephibosheth has recovered his social status and also became a member of David's family. Another incident that shows the importance of sharing a table is mentioned in the New Testament as well. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, it says, "When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, 'You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?'" Jews compare the kingdom of God to a feast, which shows how important eating and drinking together was for them. Eating and drinking with the Gentiles was a taboo for the Jews. Jews believed that the Gentiles were not allowed in the kingdom of God, and were even considered to have one-way ticket to hell upon death. Therefore, eating with them was an act of defiling themselves. Yet, such a thing happened at the church in Antioch. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross, his resurrection, and his gospel allowed people to overcome all obstacles. One day, people who were sent by Apostle Jacob, a younger brother of Jesus Christ, came to Antioch. Upon hearing this, Apostle Peter, who was eating with the Gentiles, drew back and separated himself from the Gentiles, pretending as if he did not eat with the Gentiles. When Apostle Peter did so, the other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, pretending as if they were not eating with the Gentiles, and even Barnabas took part in their hypocrisy. For this, Apostle Paul harshly rebuked Apostle Peter in front of all the people. He said, "You are a Jew, and you pretend to live like a Gentile only when there are people sent from Jerusalem. Does that mean the Gentiles must act like the Jews only in the presence of the people sent from Jerusalem? You can only become righteous by believing in Jesus Christ. So why are you trying to become righteous through the Jewish law? Stop being hypocritical." Even after this harsh rebuke, Apostle Paul was unable to serve in the same ministry as Apostle Peter and Barnabas. Paul owed much to Barnabas in particular. When no one believed that Paul met the resurrected Lord on the way to Damascus, Barnabas took Paul to the apostles and argued for him, advocating Paul's apostleship. When Paul was living in seclusion in his hometown, Tarsus, Barnabas brought him to Antioch and made him a teacher for a year at the church in Antioch. Barnabas and Paul even went on a mission trip together as well. Yet after this incident, they could not serve in the same ministry. Apostle Paul rebuked the two apostles so harshly because he believed that was not the gospel, no matter how much he tried to justify their actions. The Gentiles and the Jews sharing a meal is not just an act of filling their stomach over a meal. It is an act that confirms that both the Gentiles and the Jews reside in the gospel declaring that everyone lives to eat and drink with the Lord, not to live in the teachings or values of the world. A church is made up of people who do not eat and drink in the values of the world, but with the Lord only. Not the people who possess the most expensive gold, silver, jewels, or precious artworks that can be bought with money in the world, but the people who possess the gold refined in the fire that Jesus sells are the people who eat and drink with the Lord. Not the people who wear fancy clothes that they can buy in the world and sit on a high chair, but those who wear white clothes that the Lord sells and serves in the low places are the people who sit at the Lord's banquet table. Not the people who look at the world by applying eye salve that can be bought in the world, but those who look to the eternity by applying eye salve that Jesus sells are those who eat and drink with the Lord. The church that eats with the Lord, not with secular values, is the word of the Lord given to us through the text today, on the 9th anniversary of the founding of our church. In our church's articles of incorporation, Article 2, Purpose, it states, first, we aim to be a unified church, sacred church, universal church, an apostolic church upon the Bible, which is the Word of God. Second, we lead the people who have been saved in Jesus Christ to make faith a way of living, and living a way of faith to carry out their callings and responsibilities as Christians to our people and the humanity. Third, we inherit the faith and the spirit of the 100 years of the Christian mission in Korea, and cultivate the vision for 200 years of missions. Fourth, we are entrusted with all the rights of the Yangojin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial from the Foundation for the 100th Anniversary of the Korean Church to manage and operate them, making them the prioritized site of missions. Our 100th Anniversary Memorial Church was not built for us to gather together by ourselves, receive blessings among ourselves, and serve among ourselves. If it were built for such purposes, then God would have not allowed us to start our church. And even if it did start, God would not have called us together like this. The 100th Anniversary Memorial Church was built by the Foundation for the 100th Anniversary of the Korean Church to serve the past, present, and the future of Korean churches. Serving the past of the Korean churches means preserving the Yangojin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial, which are the most sacred places of Korean Christianity, as a legacy of faith of Korean churches. Our church opened up and guided the visitors to the Yangojin Foreign Missionary Cemetery since September 18, 2006. And a total of over 500,000 people visited the cemetery as of June 26th. Visitors to the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial also numbered over 356,800 as of June 30th this year. This was possible because the Lord regarded high of our efforts to continue the faith and the spirit of the 100 years of Korean Christian missions to renew the present. Also, serving the future of Korean churches is to cultivate the vision of the 200 years of missions. The first Korean missionaries, the Appenzellers and the Underwoods, arrived at Daemun-pu Port on Easter in 1885. Yet, in 1884, the year before, churches had been erected in Uiju, Hamgyong Province, Sore in Hwanghae Province, and Busan in Gyeongsang Province by Korean Christians themselves. In the same year, Allen, an American doctor and a Presbyterian, came to Korea and began a medical mission. The foundation for the 100th anniversary of the Korean Church held celebrations in 1984 as the 100th year of missions in Korea. The 200th anniversary of the missions in Korea will be 2084, which is exactly 70 years from this year. Would we be able to cultivate the vision of 200 years of missions if we just sit and wait for the next 70 years? The present is a result of our lives from the past, and the future is the fruit of our lives in the present. Therefore, to cultivate the vision of 200 years of missions, we have to do our best to serve the present. Serving the present means serving Korean churches, serving Christian organizations, and serving the Korean society, including the Mapo District and surrounding regions. Of course, serving Korean churches also includes serving other members of our church. Directly spreading the gospel had been prohibited in Joseon. And so early Christian missionaries spread the gospel through education, medical services, and cultural ways. Today, preaching the gospel is not illegal. And yet, if you preach directly, you are neglected. And people say that churches do not communicate well with the rest of the world. That is why we have Yanghwajin Thursday lectures and Yanghwajin concerts to use as a bridge to serve and communicate with the world. In order for a church to properly serve the past, present, and the future of Korean churches, we should not dine and eat with the secular values, but should eat and drink with the Lord. In the video on Yanghwajin history that we showed to the visiting worshippers at Yanghwajin, Mr. Lee Man-yeol, who was the chairman of the National Institute of Korean History, says something like this. What they affected mentally, besides what we have seen, is that they left their home countries where they could have been treated well, eaten well, and lived well, just to devote themselves, give love, and ultimately sacrifice themselves in the harsh environments in Korea. Their sense of service, sense of sacrifice, I would call them an incredibly valuable legacy that the missionaries have left us with. Those missionaries buried in Yanghwajin came all the way here because they felt that regardless of how much dreadful Joseon was, eating and drinking with the Lord was the more priceless thing than the comfortable life at home where they can eat and drink well. It seems that the current Korean churches have become the captives of the world called Babylon. Rather than buying the gold refined in the fire, white clothes, and salve from the Lord, they busy themselves to buy the gold, clothes, salve, and more fancy stuff from the world without knowing. That's the way to becoming like the Church of Laodicea. At times like this, it feels just so profound and mysterious to think of the fact that God has provided and guided us to start a church 9 years ago. My dear, loving fellow worshippers, let us become a church that every single one of us all dine and drink together with the Lord. No matter how tasty the world's foods and drinks seem, how much they will please my tongue, let us not forget that all things in this world are only just instant foods. Let us also remind ourselves that the gold, clothes, and salve that are sold in this world are also just instant goods. They may provide us an instant joy, but they will never last and will have no effect whatsoever over the fundamental problem in life. Let us become the children of God by only eating and drinking with the Lord at His table, and become the Christians that pave the road for the future of Korean churches. Korean churches may be captives to the world called Babylon for now, and have sank in the Laodicean values. But if we eat and dine, drink only with the Lord, we will become more pure and more mature. Thus, the Lord Himself will pave the road for us. And 70 years later, when we greet the 200th anniversary of Korean Christianity, it will be the first year which will be used as the passage to renew the world, and the churches will come back to the Lord from the world. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us 9 years ago to start our 100th anniversary memorial church in the desolate Yangwajin area, and using us as your passage to the history of God. Please remember the tears and sweats that our fellow members have shed while working hard for the church, which is also the body of the Lord. Make them rich with the gold refined in the fire. Clothe them in the white clothes with your own hands, and allow them to put on the salve that you give so that they may enjoy the grace of laying their eyes on eternity. Allow us all to be the people who eat and drink with Jesus every day, to become the church that paves the road toward 200th anniversary of Korean Christianity. Do not let us be dazzled by the instant foods and instant goods from the world and be busy to earn those things. Allow us to witness the succession of the Christian belief and spirit through the Yangwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Korea Christianity Martyr Memorial Hall that you have put our church in charge with. Let us become the stepping stone for the future of Korean churches that healthily serves the churches, the Christian organizations, the local communities, and the Korean society. Please also allow for the Korean churches to restore their faith and praise your name on high through our Yangwajin Thursday lectures and Yangwajin concerts. Let us not forget that eating and drinking with the Lord is the best way to live, the best way to prepare for the future. And that is where the true church is at. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.